Our scripture reading comes from the book of Esther, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace, in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half a kingdom it will be given to you." "If it pleases the king," Esther replied, "let the king together with Haman come today to a banquet I have prepared for him. Bring Haman at once," the king said, "so that we may do what Esther asks." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. As they were drinking wine, the king again asked Esther, "Now what is your petition? It will be given to you." Esther replied, "My petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question." Haman went out that day happy and in high spirits. But when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate and observed that he neither rose nor showed fear in his presence, he was filled with rage against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. Calling together his friends and Zeresh his wife, Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him, and how he had elevated him above the other nobles and officials. "And that's not all," Haman added. "I am the only person Queen Esther had invited to accompany the king to the banquet she gave, and she has invited me along with the king tomorrow. But all this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew, Mordecai, sitting at the king's gate." His wife Zeresh and all of his friends said to him, "Have a pole set up, reaching to a height of 50 cubits, and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai impaled on it. Then go with the king to the banquet and enjoy yourself." This suggestion delighted Haman, and he had the pole set up.
As you see my title there, Dinner with a Guest. Who likes to invite people over for dinner or lunch? Well, Angie and I, we like to invite people over, and we've had some of you over, and we like to get together with family and friends. And do you remember there was a television dinner and a movie? Anybody remember that? You know, that you may not known, but this was on TBS, aired from 1995 to 2011. You know, and when they'd go to the normal commercial break, they'd also go to the dinner preparation, you know, whatever the meal was. You know, every week the movie was different, but the meal was different as well, and they'd give insights on how to prepare this and that, and having a nice meal, you know, a dinner and a movie. And I don't know about how often you go out to eat, but I know shortly after Angie and I got together, going out with my dad one time, he's taking us out, and he's going to be disappointed because we're not going to have this today in our family get-together. But his first thing, you know, before he orders food, he orders a chocolate milkshake. And Angie's like, "Who orders a chocolate milkshake every time when you go out to eat for a meal?" I was like, "My dad does." So no milkshakes today, Dad. So you'll have to get that on your way home. But you know, there may not have been any movies in the royal palace in Esther's day, but there was still opportunity to invite a guest, to invite somebody over, to join the king and queen in a meal. That had to be exciting, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't that be something worthwhile? You'd go home. Nowadays, you'd be text messaging your family and friends saying, "Hey, the queen and king just invited me to dinner. Can you believe that? Just me, nobody else, na 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 na. I'll tell you about it later." But leading up to that meal, a lot of things had to happen. And if you had the opportunity to look at Esther chapter 3, 4, and 5 this week, I just recap chapter 3, King Xerxes. He had granted Haman the great honor of being this second person, second to the king, meaning so much so that everyone was to kneel down to Haman. Everyone was to see him coming and almost be fearful of him and kneel down in reverence. But you know as well as I do, if you got a God-fearing man there named Mordecai, Mordecai is not going to kneel down to no other human man because he's God-fearing and he's God-loving, and he would not bow down to Haman. And Haman did not like that. He gained anger and furious, and his intent was not just to kill Mordecai, but he's going to kill all the Jews. He wanted to make sure that he wiped out all of Mordecai's people, family, relatives, and any Jew. Haman was going to kill them all. And that was his intent. He got the king's signet ring, and he made the decree, and the plan became official, and it was sent out to all the kingdom and surrounding area that the king was in charge of. And he even said there in chapter 3 that I'll put extra 10,000 talents of silver in the king's treasury. He was that adamant and serious about making sure that he got the Jews killed. So the plan was sent out. Chapter 4, Mordecai learns of the plan. He goes into wearing sackcloth and ashes. He's crying and wailing, scripture tells us. And the other Jews hear about it, and they're filled with great mourning and sadness that this has went into effect, and it's supposed, no way of getting out of it. It's been signed and sealed and delivered. It's got the king's signature on it. The word gets to Esther, and she wants to know what's happening, and she talks to Mordecai. You remember, as he raised her, you know, she had great faith in him. She knew he was a man of God, and she trusted him. Just as we heard last week, you know, Mordecai brought her to be in the midst of the beautiful women to be prepared to be seen by the king, and then she was chosen to be the next queen. And we talked about how God's hand is in all this. This is part of all God's plan. God always has a plan to save his people, and this is going to be Queen Esther's opportunity to do her part in that plan of God's plan to save his people. Mordecai tells her and says, you got to get in there. You got to see the king. She's not sure. She's hesitant. She knows that you just can't go kick in the door and walk in on the king. But Mordecai in verse 14 says, you cannot keep quiet. You can't keep quiet. The Lord has placed you in this position for a time as this. Esther says, okay. But she says, let's pray and let's fast. And they did. Esther and her servants, Mordecai and the Jews, they prayed and they fasted for 3 days. And Esther goes. She dresses in her royal best. All the makeup, perfume, gold, and you name it. She had it. She's decked out. She's there waiting in the court for the king to either come in and then to get in his throne and then to notice her. And as he realizes she's there, across the room, he sees her and he is pleased. Just as he was pleased when he first met her last week, you know, and chose her to be queen. He is pleased to see his queen there. And he holds out his gold scepter, inviting her to come to approach the throne. Now we know this is a whole different day and age, because we know today, as husband and wife, if the wife finds out about a situation that needs taken care of, it's kick open the door and say, if you think you're my husband, you're going to get out there, you're going to tell them something different, you're going to take care of this. Or it's like, you're going to be my husband, you're going to go out there, take care of this before I go out there and take care of this. And as husbands, we know we got to do that. So we know it's a different day and age, but there's some principles that still hold the same. Esther, she's going to follow a proper procedure, putting her life on the line by standing there without an invitation to come before the king, to show up unannounced. But there was a procedure, and it began when she began to pray. When she began to pray and fast 3 days earlier, praying for the Lord to open up that door of opportunity, to give her that holy boldness, to give her that opportunity to be brave, that opportunity to go in front of the king and approach him and to bring a request and to tell him about this evil plan to kill her people. You see, the king, the kingdom, and Mordecai and Esther, they had not revealed to anyone there in the palace that they were Jews. They were just foreigners in a foreign land that God had put there, and now Esther is queen. They didn't know they was Jews. They weren't thinking about it. But Esther was filled from prayer and fasting, confidence in God to hear her. She was filled with grace, but firm in her conviction. She could have let that prosperity, she could have let the fame and the good life of the palace just be enough to bring her that joy of the flesh and not worry about the Jews. And really, Mordecai had done his job. He raised her. She could have even turned her back on him and say, "Hey, I'm queen. I won't talk to you anymore. I don't want to hear about your problems." That was not the type of relationship they had. No, she loved Mordecai. Esther loved her people. She was willing to put her life on the line. And even though she was fearful, it could have been a little bit hand-wringing and not knowing the outcome, she'd been praying for 3 days. She had her servants praying. Mordecai was praying. The other Jews that he talked to were praying. And she embraced that moment that God had placed her in. A divine appointment to do God's work. Esther, putting her life on the line, trusted that her prayers and fasting would have been heard and God would act and take care of this. Mordecai, being the firm believer that he was and the man of God that he was, he also knew that anything less than commitment, he knew that unfaithfulness. Mordecai knew from life experiences that the attitude to do nothing or to turn a blind eye or to walk away or turn your back on something that God's calling you to do is not good. It's actually a sin. It's actually disobedience. And what's that bring? What's that bring to your life? Of course, that brings heartache and it brings despair. And that is what would have come upon Esther if she had done those things, if she tried to play the easy card. Hey, I'm queen. I'm just sitting in my room. I don't want to hear about the world. She could have shut the world out. She could have just been well off. But it would still ate at her on the inside. But she did not let that happen. She continued to allow herself to be used to do God's work, to save his people. And we'll continue to look at that in the next few weeks. And you know, for next week, you want to read Esther chapter 6, 7, and 8. But as I mentioned last week, our focus is God at work in all our lives, and God's at work in your life, no matter how upside down it may be, no matter how messy it is, no matter how ugly it really is, even though you got your Sunday best on. God is at work. Are you allowing him to do that work? Are you going to allow yourself to realize that work that he's trying to do and how he's trying to pull you up and out of these things? You have an opportunity this week to do things different. You have an opportunity to serve the Lord in a way you never served him before. I don't know what the Lord said to you today, but I know he's going to say something to you today. This week, right now, going into this week, you have an opportunity to view things in your life a little differently if you let the Lord help you. If you let Jesus help you bring unity to your turmoil that's in here, that has to start here first. That's why we had communion early on, to begin the peace and unity because of that unconditional love. It may be difficult. Your life right now was probably difficult. I know all about it. I know about difficulties. I've been there, lived it, been through it. I know there's still some to come. It may be dangerous. It's definitely scary. Of course it's scary. It's scary to see loved ones and people we know and people in our community dealing with things and unexpected things and illnesses and sadness and brokenness and unexpected grief and sorrow. It's scary. It's not about when, but it's about, am I next? What's the next message? What's the next phone call? What's next? What's going to happen tomorrow that I can't control? Let us not fail the Lord. Let's trust Him. Let's embrace Him. Let's be filled with that love. So whatever happens tomorrow, we can face it. Whatever happens by the end of next week, we're going to keep on going because Jesus is going to be there with us. He's already gone before us. He's going to be with us as we confront it and face it. He's with you right now. And because He's with you, just as He had Esther right there where He wanted her, you might not be where you want to be, but let me tell you, Jesus, He's there with you, and He's got a plan for you, and it begins with Him being number one in your life. You can choose Him, you can choose that plan, and you can accept it. Being Esther, you can be brave in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The most powerful, sweetest name that we know. We call upon you. And I lift up your people to you today, Lord, those that are worshiping you right now, wherever they are, I lift them up to you, Lord. Because I know they got situations and they got things in their life that they need to face and they need to be brave. But I pray that they get to that, they do the unity part first. They become one with you, Father God, through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So that then they can be renewed and they can have that strength that is not of their own, but it is of you, Jesus. A strength and understanding of those things that they need to face. And that it can be dangerous, it may be scary, it will be hard. But with you, Jesus, saying yes to you first, you will begin the holy work that needs to be done. As Esther took 3 days to pray before speaking to the king, I pray that we as a church and our leaders will be in daily prayer for our children, for our youth, for their families, for your church, praying for our community, Lord, for your holy work to be done and for us to do it in a way that is full of love, loving people into the gates of heaven. Lord Jesus, help us and show us the way. And this I ask in your holy name. Amen.